Anyway, I want to talk to you about being able ministers of the Word of God and the truth and whatever. And I want to start in verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. That is, in the body of Christ, the church, there are going to be people in that church. Some will honor and some will dishonor. You got it? They're still saved. I mean, he starts out verse 19 letting them know that they got eternal life. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. But why does He want you to depart from iniquity? You know, Stan, we were talking about earlier about people drinking and cussing and acting like the world. And you can do all that. You're sealed. If you're saved, you're sealed. You're not going to lose your salvation. There isn't anything that you can do that is going to drop you from your salvation at all. Ever. Doesn't matter. Say, well, how about if I'm murdered? Nope. Won't drop you. All right, here's the ultimate. How about if I commit suicide? No, that won't do it either. See, God sealed you. It's like the ark. When they got in the ark, they couldn't close the door. Guess who closed it? God did. God sealed it. Once they were in there, they weren't coming out until it was time. That's exactly like the body of Christ. You're plummeted into the body of Christ, and once you're that, you're His. But He knows that in that house, in this great big house, there's people to honor and some to dishonor. And that's very important to understand. God has this whole thing planned, but He wants it to be your choice, your free will, your intent. And you're not doing it so you can go around saying, oh, look how good I am. Because we know what? There's none good, no, not one. So it's not for bragging rights. Paul didn't go around, oh, man, look at me. I'm really, you know, that. And he didn't live his life in a way that would bring reproach upon the Lord. You got it? So I believe very much in sanctified living. A lot of people think, well, it's grace. Yes, it is. But grace can also be used as liberty to the flesh. Look in Galatians chapter 5. You sure don't. We're going to get to that verse too. Galatians chapter 5. And he says this. Well, I'm just going to slide down a little bit in the context, but go to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got it? So what is walking in the Spirit? What is walking? You know, we've been talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and that. What is walking in the Spirit? Okay, when I go up on the end of a sentence, that usually means a question to you guys.
Sealed in the Spirit as far as the Spirit.
Yeah, but what is the process of walking in the Spirit?
Taking on the fruits
of the Spirit. Well, it is taking on the fruits, but more. Come on, give me a little. Come on.
Would it be studying?
Well, I would think that studying would be involved.
Well, the
whole thing about walking, walk in the Spirit is a verb that is an action verb. Walk in the Spirit. You know what? You can fulfill the lust of your flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. Well, let me show you how he does this. Look in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and of such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, now remember he said walk in the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, here it is again, walk in the Spirit. Well, walking in the Spirit would be walking in those fruits that Keith was talking about. It would be walking with joy in your thing and happiness and peace. Not always struggling and striving and bringing that flesh where you kick its butt and say, you know what? You ain't going to control me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And what it reminds me of, yes, Keith?
Barry, a person who is sealed by the Holy Spirit can't lose their salvation, but goes out and does those things which we just mentioned, goes out and commits murder, etc., etc. Are they judged at the judgment seat of Christ accordingly?
That is a good question. That's what we're going to deal with a little bit tonight. But let me tell you the short answer on that right now, just so that it will work in Keith's head, is you will never be judged for sin. But the effects of sin, you can be judged by. Illustration. If you murdered somebody, people are going to be a lot less likely to listen to you about the gospel. Y'all understand? Can you still murder someone and preach the gospel? Who's a prime example of that? Paul was. But, let me tell you, very few Pauls sitting in here tonight, he said. That's true. You all understand, though? The effects of sin. So if you cause your brother to stumble because of the murder, or someone not to believe, then you're at blame. And you will lose rewards. Okay? But for the sin itself, will you ever be held accountable for it? And the answer is no. Why? What did he do with those sins? He paid for them. So the key is to walk in Adam. And here's the tightrope you've got to... Can everybody see this? Christy?
Not really.
Then you need a taller pastor. No. Can you get this over here? That's Adam. Here's the problem. You leave Adam and you join onto Christ. When does that happen? The moment you trust it. You still can't see that?
No, you're in the way.
I've been in the way the whole time. The moment you get saved, you leave Adam and you join onto Christ. Okay? But what religious people want you to do is go back and make Adam acceptable. Okay? That's what religion wants you to do. What he wants you to do is to walk over here. And that's very difficult. Because we want, I equate it with like skating rinks. I know these are dumb illustrations, but it's the best I can come up with on a Wednesday night. Religion puts you in the skating rink and you hold on to the rail and you're trying to skate. Can you ever skate hanging on to the rail?
No.
No. You've got to let go and go for it. You can't correct the flesh. So don't try. What do you try to do? Walk in the Spirit. So what does that must entail? What? You got to talk up louder. The mumbles don't go well over the internet. This is what they hear. This is what they hear on the internet. Listen.
Increase your faith by hearing the word.
Yeah, well, that would definitely help. The more you understand where you are, the less you want to go back. You see, go to Romans. No doubt. I'm going to get to all this. You guys are helping me preach the sermon. If you all want me to sit down, I'll let you guys go. You guys are good. I'm just telling you guys, the problem is you don't want to go in there. You want, listen, my whole life has been one of intensity. And that is, I want to get people saved. I want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. If they're doubting their salvation, I want them to quit doubting. If they're confused, I want them to get unconfused. If they don't know how to study their Bible, I want to try to show them how to study their Bible. You understand? My intent is not to make you great people. What I'm trying to do is get you to walk in the Lord and not walk in your flesh. Walking in the flesh tends to want to fix the flesh. When walking in the Spirit really is nothing to do with the fleshly mode. It has to do with what you believe in your mind and your transformation. Where did I tell you? Well, no, go to Romans 12. Just for one grab, I just want to get four verses. This stuff is hard. Because we tend to want to do it in the flesh. We want to quit yelling. So we restrain ourselves from quit yelling. What would be a better method? Yeah, try to get it in your head. Renew your mind. You've walked around for however many years in this fleshly mind, then you got to change your mind. How do you do that? Bible classes, study, 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 Bible class. You got it? It takes a lot of it. And you've got to feed. Brother Moore described it as having a white dog and a black dog. And that white dog is your spirit. And the black dog is the flesh. And if you feed the fleshly things, listen, you know what those commercials on TV are trying to get you to do? Yeah, they're trying to get you to react based upon your emotions and your flesh. That's where covetousness comes in. I mean, we see those commercials over and over, and eventually we want one of those. You got it? Well, if you cut out the TV, what would happen? That desire would go down. Why? You're not feeding that black dog that loves all that stuff. It's like that that good old meter. Has anybody seen that on the internet? Where they get on the good old meter? And he gets on and he says, but I only read the articles. You don't read a Playboy for the articles. There might be a slight temptation otherwise. Amen? You might want to stay away from that. Romans chapter 12. Let me put on my... How do y'all like my new glasses?
No, they look better.
Someone said I look like a doctor now. I don't know. That stuff's all crap. I don't know. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this what? Then the world is trying to do something with you. Amen? It's trying to let your flesh desire things, even religious things. How many here has watched a church service and said, boy, I wish we had a church service like that? Yeah, you know, I mean, they're pretty ornate. You know, they have all these national musicians, and all you got is me and Christy and Brenda.
Wish we had a grand piano.
Amen.
Don't wish. Just go buy one. You know, you could buy one just as easy as I could.
Amen.
All right.
Or is it, oh me?
That you may prove, what's the whole point? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Of God. Well, then walking in the Spirit has to do with finding that will, that desire. What does He want from me? Isn't that what people are asking all the time in their Christian faith? What does God want from me? Well, He doesn't want you to go out and just booze it up and drink it and raise hell, even though you can. He wants you to bring glory to His Son. How do you do that? By preaching the Word. Well, let me ask a question. How effective preacher would it be if I got up here with a stogie and started smoking? Charles Spurgeon did it, but how would it go in a Baptist church today?
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't. And so you've got to be cautious to what you do in the flesh in order to give them the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? You've got to protect it. It's like you've got to set your shields up and not be brought in and not be brought under the power. In fact, look what he says. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not everybody, read this with me, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Listen, even if you start living your life a little bit better because you're trying to preach the word, you've got to remember where you are. If you ever start to think that you're something, when you're nothing, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. Go to Romans chapter 7 now. So this whole walking in the Spirit and we talked about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to walk in His Spirit. Can you do that by following Peter? No, that's not exactly what God wants planned. I mean, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. I'm going to erase this if that's okay, since I've got it over there. And what God wants you to do is see the mystery of why the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. That spot in the Bible is the most unique spot in the Bible in the entire Word of God. And the same Jesus that laid it out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the same Jesus that laid it out here laid all this out that way. All of it. It's not like it's not Jesus' will. It is Jesus' will. But there was something unique in that spot. And you can go to any Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Assembly of God. Did I miss it? All of them. And they all start either in Mark 16, Matthew 16, or Acts 2. Now, the reason I get frustrated is you can't walk in the Spirit by doing the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not walking in the Spirit. That is frustrating the Spirit. It's grieving. You talk about the grieving of Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. People all... But I mean, come on. I mean, you listen to their mouth, what they say. You know what? People go, I. You know what? It isn't about you. My salvation, my walk, my everything is Him. It's Christ. So, they that walk in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way they can do that. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. I want to come up in verse 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. So what does he want you to do? So he wants you to tell people truth about yourself. Brother Moore was absolutely the best at it. Say, how are you? I'm terrible. I've heard that 100,000 times. You know what he was? He was telling you the truth. You say, well, he's just complaining. You ought to have a better PMA, better positive mental attitude. So I went around saying, I'm fantastic. When I realized after he died, all he was doing was trying to tell me the truth. You know what? I am terrible. I get up sometimes and feel like it's time to go right back to bed. My legs are so weak that sometimes just walking to the car is a challenge. Driving 6.5 hours to a Bible class is rough on me. I don't go because I want to, although I do love them up there. I go because the word needs to be preached. Sometimes I get up to preach and the wind won't come out my lungs. It stinks. Sometimes I'm so achy in my body that I can barely walk. It's embarrassing. I was at a Bible conference and for really 3.5 days, my head was, I didn't know where I was half the time. That's the truth. I'm falling apart. Ain't nothing in this flesh I want. You know what I want more than anything? I want to depart from this stuff. I have a desire to leave this body and be with the Lord. Honestly, I do. And you know, Jerry says, your preaching has gotten better since you've been hurt. And you know what it is? It isn't my preaching, it's my desire has changed a lot. I finally understand what brother... You realize that 81 years of age, he went out of a windshield, out of the front of a van at 80 miles an hour and slid on that windshield for like 200 yards. They had rolled 4 or 5 times. I was the first one in the hospital. He was in ICU. He said, Barry, go take care of Bernice. I'm okay. Well, he was okay for 2 days and then he turned deathly ill because of all of his injuries. I was in that hospital 8 months. And that man got up and preached after that. And his memory wasn't as good from then on out. But I thought, man, there's a man that wants to preach. You know what most people, well, my car won't make it. How do you know someone along the way is going to give you one? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? If you walk in the Spirit, the Lord's going to take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
Say, well, I can't give because I don't have enough money. No, you don't have enough money because you don't give. Say, I'm always frustrated. Well, that's because you're working all the time and coming home and watching the ball game and drinking a beer. If you got your nose in the book, it'd be a different story. Amen?
Amen?
Come home and study the book. Put these thoughts in your mind. Have your mind transformed. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? By study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How do you wrap your mind around these verses? Go to Acts. And we're out of time, but I want to do this last. Just Acts 10 and Titus chapter 3. It's a simple comparison. I mean, this is what we're talking about, walking in the Spirit. Sorry about that. Give me a second here. Yeah, I got it. Acts 10, verse 35. Well, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now that's in the Word of God. Amen. Sounds like you ought to work righteousness. Amen. But look at Paul, your apostle, in Titus chapter 3. Watch this. Verse 4. Titus 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have what? That's the Spirit. You got it? You can't do both of those passages at the same time. And so, God is trying to get you to walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? by you following the instructions of what? Romans? Philemon. Okay? And you get your instruction there. If you go over here to get your instruction, guess what you're going to find out? You might be walking in the flesh. Now, are there things back here that Jesus tells you to do that you should still do? Yeah. But you would compare that with this stuff over here. And if they're in both places, it's okay to use it. See, walking in the Spirit isn't changing your life. It's walking in the direction written down in the King James Bible. So here's some examples of walking in the flesh. Are you any good?
No.
Can you keep the commandments?
No.
Should we try to keep the commandments? Is the commandments our guideline? What you're doing this. This is not good. This is no good. What?
No,
we shouldn't because they were.
All right, let's see what the Spirit says. We're going to walk in the Spirit. You can't do this. When you get to this, you're not walking either way. Okay? Walking in the Spirit. Now, go to Galatians chapter 3. Go there and we'll end here pretty quick. Galatians chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse... Well, I've got to split here. 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. How did it do that? Through the law. Who said that? Yeah, through the law. That's how it did. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept up under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now watch. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, after you believe, we are no longer under a what? Ever? Yes. So, let's try that again. Let's walk in the Spirit. Are we to go back under the law after we get saved?
No.
No. Going back under the law is going back and trying to fix Adam. That's what that is. And Adam is never acceptable to God. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says, reckon him to be dead. Why, if you're confused, then you're reckoning, well, I did this message. Remember that baby that got stuck in the tube, the two-year-old baby? Jessica, I think was her name. I did a message. That's how most Christians are. They don't know whether to keep the law or come out and have grace.
I know I don't have to keep the law as a Christian. I mean, I know that.
Right.
As a Christian, it's not, I mean, the commandments are good principles by which to live.
Yeah, but it's done away with, nailed to the cross. So what do we do now? We follow Romans through Philemon. If it tells you to raise your right hand, raise your right hand. If it's do this, then do that. Whatever Romans through Philemon. And if it tells you not to murder someone, then don't go out and do that. Probably advisable. Are you supposed to do stumbling blocks in front of your brother? No, and that's the whole point. If you're walking in the Spirit, you may stumble occasionally, but if you've told them the truth, guess what? It isn't going to affect the testimony. But if you've been setting yourself up like commandments, or you're some Joe Christian, or you're something really fantastic, you're going to be a big letdown for everybody that sees you, because they're going to finally catch you at something. You got it? My wife says, never say never. I'll never do that. I bet you'll find that's the thing you'll end up doing. So what do? You don't concentrate on never. You concentrate on getting people saved. And if concentration in your soul purpose, every word out of your mouth is going to align with that King James Bible. And they're going to be impressed with the words of that book, not you. I'm pretty much a failure, boys and girls. And I know that. I realize that. I've come to it a long time ago. I'm a pretty much failure. But you know what? I put my mind to learning this book. And I ain't done yet. Although at times it looks like I might be done. Watch out, I'm a comeback kid. I might just come back as a spirit to scare you to death. Guys, walking in the Spirit is hard. Because you have no guidelines to hold on to. You have no rail to hang on when you're skating. You're out in the middle by yourself. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So what do to make it easy? They go back under the law. Because that's easy. I got rules. I can't do this, 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 and this. And they live their life. But you know what? They are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you do that. I think I probably much failed here tonight. Did anyone get anything out of that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I bumbled up here, but I tried. I'm done.